Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Debbie Workman, your host, and Gumbo Yaya is brought to you each week by Sable Hunter and Buku Publishing. This week, I'm with the authors of The Windswept, an anthology of enduring love stories. This is also Buku Publishing's latest release. Windswept is an anthology of love stories, and my guests today are CJ Anaya, Aaron Black, Jamie Brumfeld, Isabel Kate, Gracie Wilson, Jamie Lynn Booth, and Catherine Rose. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. How's everybody today?
Nervous.
Great.
You're in the right place, Jamie Lynn. Catherine, I want to start with you because you had a lot of, you put in a lot of work on this anthology. Can you tell us what goes into putting one together in the back behind the scenes?
Oh, sure, sure. There's, well, first you have to get everybody to, the biggest challenge on this one is getting everybody to write in the same location. We kind of started throwing it together in, I think, October, and there was some issue about where it was actually going to be, and then when it finally decided that it was going to be on Galveston Island, everybody had, some people had already written it, and some people were just working on it, and it was, there were some incidences of people not having locations right. So that was the first challenge, was getting everybody to write in the correct geographical location.
Yeah.
There were some pretty funny problems with that. Then it's a matter of getting everybody to get their stuff in, and like I tell my students all the time, life happens. Life happens outside of what you're trying to do. So we had some people who were straggling behind. There were a couple of stories that had to be revised a couple times. And then all the actual production stuff is, it's pretty tough to get everything. There were 11 stories ranging from 8,000 to 26,000 words. So I had to get all of these 96,000 words into a single format in a single file and make them look uniform and correct. So there was a lot. I was lucky in that they were rolling in. They started rolling in early. So the completed edited stories were rolling in early. So I started the format, and then I was able to actually just drop things in as they went along. Everybody got their own individual promotional cover. And most of the covers were very simple. They only took me, like, maybe an hour and a half, most of them. and then I did uniform teasers for everybody. This looked really nice on another anthology I had been in. So I decided to do that, offer that up with this one. And I think they look really good because everybody has a uniform teaser, but it's still unique to their particular story because it has an element of their cover in it, and then it has an excerpt from the story. So it started in October, and it finished last night at, when did it go live? 9:25.
I know, so, it was quick.
It was ridiculous. It was 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think we need a record.
It's so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. CJ, what's it like for you to, is this your first anthology, CJ?
This is actually my second anthology. I did one with another group. It was more of an independent, and we didn't have a publisher with us. I just had a friend, an author colleague that had contacted me and thought it would be fun to do, excuse me, some paranormal stories, just some short stories for Halloween. So that was a lot harder than this. I'm sure Jennifer won't think that because she's the one that had to do all the work. But with the first one, we had to do all the work. So it was easier for me to just write my story and send it to Jennifer than to have to worry about everyone else's stories. So I can really sympathize with her on that. And on the one hand, I feel bad for her. And on the other hand, I feel really happy for me because I have to do all the formatting and everything like I did last time. So, Jennifer, I feel for you, and I'm grateful for you. You did such a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Who has this anthology to be their very first anthology? Jamie Lynn, is this your first anthology?
Yeah, this is my first one. Yeah.
How are you feeling about this?
I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely excited, and I'm very honored to be able to be given the privilege of being the same book as so many incredible authors. It's just,
yeah,
you have no
idea
how. Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
A very talented group, and I'll list them now. Of course, starting with Sable Hunter and Jamie Brumfield, and there's also Aaron Black, Ginger Ring, Gracie Wilson, Scarlett Jade, Natalie Alder, and Isabel, do we have you here?
Yes, hello. Sorry I'm late.
Poor Isabel thought we had an hour to go because she's in the UK, so she's on a different time zone.
Well, hi, everyone.
I need a dual watch.
Yeah, and we also have Jamie and Aaron that just popped
Hello.
Up. Hello. Welcome, ladies. We're talking about being part of an anthology. And, Jamie, you have been involved in quite a few anthologies, is that correct?
Yes, I've actually been involved with about 5 different anthologies, and I love them, all of them.
So you find them, it's a good thing to do. You can meet a lot of new fans that way.
Oh, absolutely, because you not only do you get to work with so many great authors, but you get such an amazing arrangement of stories, and your fans, they love reading from different authors, so it gives an opportunity of just cross-promoting with other authors as well, which is amazing, and it's just a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Isabel?
This is my, it's actually my third anthology. The first anthology was with several paranormal authors, one of which is Christy Peebles, as well as C.L. Partington at the time. And that was, my story there was In Dusk's Embrace, and then I had the Halloween anthology with Boku, as well as this one. And it is very interesting because I get to read the stories of everybody in the anthology, and I really am blown away by the way, you know, the authors that I am with write, and it's really inspiring to be able to be part of it.
Right. I can't wait to read it. I'm really looking forward to it. Aaron, I want to start with you. Your title is Grace's Arbor. Can you introduce us to your characters and tell us a little bit about what your part in the anthology is?
Well, Hope and Charlie are a couple going through a divorce, and Grace is actually a room they go to at the inn, named after one of the former owners. So it's referred to as Grace's Arbor because of the roses that she grew in the garden. And it's a reconciliation story.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay? I'm sorry.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
I'm on the West Coast.
Oh, okay. Jamie Lynn, yours is titled Make Me Yours. Can you tell us a little bit about your characters and their part in the anthology?
Well, actually, this is this story really means a lot to me because it's about my best friend and myself. And so she's always wanted to be a vampire, and I love vampires, and I'm in love with my best friend, so I wanted to write something special for her. In the book, in the short story, I used the name Julia for her and Curtis for me.
Uh-huh. Great. Sounds interesting. Catherine, Acts of Contrition.
Acts of Contrition. It's another reconciliation story. Michelle and Craig are on the outs. They're arguing all the time. They've both really screwed up in their marriage in various ways, and they had booked their vacation to Windswept and decided that before they had this falling out, and they decide that they're just going to go through with it because they'd already spent the money, and the story follows from there.
Okay. Sounds good. And Jamie, yours is a paranormal. Can you tell us a little bit about Jeannie's Treasure?
Well, Jeannie's Treasure is, it starts out with Joshua and Josie Parker, their siblings, and they're antique hunters. And they go searching for not just antiques that are normal antiques, but they also look for magical antiques, knowing that magic, there comes a cost when you use magic. And their parents died from a magical antique, a crown from a Swedish king that actually caused death within their family. So they basically take these antiques and they store them away so that nobody else can have them. And then the good antiques that aren't going to harm anybody, they sell in their store. So it's kind of like a antique treasure hunt. And they found this genie lamp. And, of course, Joshua doesn't believe in genies, although he does believe in magic. And Josie believes in genies. And it's actually Joshua who unlocked the genie, who lives in a separate realm, aside from she's been cursed to this other realm. So she lives in this realm in stasis until her genie lamp is triggered, and then she comes as a hologram, and she appears to the person who her master. And so Joshua is now has a genie beside him, Josie. Josie believes in them, but she can't see this genie. So Joshua's trying to, you know, carry on while they're going to search for this key for the lamp. And the key will actually release the curse on the lamp and the genie, and then release the genie. And so their goal is to basically find this key for the lamp so they can take this genie lamp and make it so it's not cursed anymore. And, of course, the romance ensues between Joshua and Imani, the genie.
Uh-huh. Jamie, you write a lot of paranormal. What inspires you to write that? You have the Winters saga series, and you have the To Love a Dragon, your new Shifter series. So what draws you to the paranormal? What keeps you inspired?
I've always been drawn to the paranormal. When we were children, we believed we had a ghost in our house. We had some strange things happen when we were children in our home. And I've just always been drawn to that side. I believe there's like a kernel of truth in every myth. I've also been drawn to mythology, so a lot of my books have not only the paranormal component, but also the ancient god component. And I also believe that, you know, as some people do, that the ancient gods were actually aliens that came to this earth. So that there's that component which I usually wrap into my stories. So I've just been drawn to it since I was a little girl. I used to read mythology. We had the influence of the ghosts that we had in our home, and I just grew up around it. And so paranormal is just an easy realm for me to work in as far as a writer.
Okay, wonderful. And you do a good job at it, too.
Oh, thank you.
CJ, you have double booked. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to. My story is about a girl named Annalise. And she is invited to the Windswept Inn to prove or disprove the rumors that it's haunted. And she pretends to be a ghost hunter, but what she really is a spirit medium who's capable of just helping ghosts with their unfinished business. And so she's a little jaded by all of the things she's been through with that. And so she just generally tries to figure out if an area is haunted. And if it is, she writes a little article for her newspaper and moves on. But when she shows up at the Windswept Inn, she finds out that they can't find her reservation, and then she discovers that she's been double booked with a really handsome Latino. I'm partial to Latinos. I'm married to one. So I had to include one in this story.
Uh-huh.
And so she can sense that he's got magic, that he might, you know, be a warlock, but that relationship develops as she starts to discover some interesting things about how maybe the double booking wasn't accidental. It had been planned. And when I was writing this story, I knew nothing about Galveston Island. I'm all the way over here in the West, and so I'd never even heard of it before because I am I don't get out much. And so I had to research it. And when I was researching the island, I was loving the history of it and didn't know that it had been named after Bernardo de Galvez. And so I researched him, and then I just got these wonderful ideas for just a fun Revolutionary War type of treasure hunt. So my story is more of a National Treasure meets Witches of East End type of thing, which is a little bizarre, but it was really fun to write. And so Miguel Galvez is kind of chasing after Annalise, and I just had a really good time. It's going to be a prequel to a series if I can ever do all of the extensive research that I know is going to go into this thing. So.
Oh, sounds fun.
That's what it's about. Yeah.
Isabel, your story is titled You and I. Can you tell us a little bit about Serenity and Matt?
This is a deviation. It's a story away from my normal paranormal series. And this is actually, I think, you can always say it's a 1.2. It's the novella after Be Mine. And Serenity was part of Be Mine in the beginning. But she was known as in a different name, and she had, she was a really, really bad person in the first story. But I felt that, even bad people need second chances to become good. So that was Serenity's story, and what she wanted to do was just move away from her past, and then she gets to meet Matt Reed at Windswept, who is also a friend of Oliver Cray, who is also who was one who helped Serenity leave the UK in order to to forge a different life for herself. So really, I would have wanted to say drugs, sex, and rock and roll, but it doesn't have that much sex, which is something unusual for me. And it is very sweet. I think it's very sweet, and it has something to do with Serenity stealing some drug money, and the person who owns that money is after her. So it's Matt's turn now to save her, not only from herself, but from the danger that's coming from the UK. So that's the story of You and I. And both of them have really bad pasts, and they just want to let go of that so that they can forge a future together.
Okay. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. And I know, like CJ mentioned, the research that went into her book, and I know you thrive on research. So what kind of research did you find yourself looking for this anthology?
Yeah. I didn't know anything like CJ. I didn't know anything about Galveston. So I also had to do a lot of research on the place itself. But what I did was to go to Google Earth and give, I just needed to get an idea of exactly where Windswept was. And then I created a different, there was a different place wherein the drug takedown was going to happen, which was like about a mile and a half to 3 miles away from Windswept. And it went, it was away from, they call it the Blue Water Highway. So all of those areas, I needed to make sure that I got it right, because it was quite difficult, especially if somebody from Galveston or even from anybody who was able to visit that place reads my story and it's not really that accurate, then, you get shot down. And that's something that writers get really worried about. That's why I feel that research is very important. So so what I did was not only look at documents, but also how Galveston looked like as far as the 1940s or 1950s, because that area was part of the Gulf, and then the waters receded and then went back. So it's very interesting how that particular area changed through the times, and it's really literally the tide of the times. So that's the kind of research I went into.
Okay, cool. Gracie has just joined us, and her story is titled What If? So, Gracie, can you tell us a little bit about your characters and their part in the anthology?
Hi, guys. So my story is called What If, and it's basically about a girl going through the stages of what if she does this and what if she actually says yes instead of always saying no like she used to. So it follows two main characters, a girl and a guy, and they are on their way to a family vacation because this is her best friend's older brother. And the people that are supposed to be meeting them get stuck, so they end up at the bed and breakfast. So, can I read my teaser now?
Sure, you can read your teaser, Gracie.
Okay. So, pull over now, I scream, and he quickly maneuvers the truck off to the shoulder. When it has barely come to a complete stop, I push over the truck and begin pacing back and forth. Are you going to be sick? Rita says, standing behind his open door. His face looks like he wants to ask more, but I just can't think straight. Keep it freaking decent, I scream, and he just shakes his head at me, while I continue on my path up and down the side of the truck. Riley, get your ass back in the truck. You shouldn't be out here with all the traffic. This is supposed to be for emergencies only, not your little girl meltdown. That does it, I snap. There's no going back from this insanity that has taken over my mind. Little girl meltdown, I say, and begin pulling my school sweater over my head, leaving me in a T-shirt. Reed's eyes spring open. I don't stop. Bringing my hand down to the hem of my T-shirt, I lift over my head, leaving me in a tank top with one of those built-in bras. I am not a little girl. I am not a kid, I say, and begin undoing my jeans. Then I yank down the zipper. Do I look like a little girl? And that's it.
Sounds great. Erin, can you talk a little bit about your book and the research that you put into it?
Well, the story came to me almost instantly when Sable first suggested the idea. The research was really pretty simple with my story because I try to keep everything as far as just the couple itself. So, you know, I did a Google search on the island to take a look at what businesses were near the inn, and then I just basically kept an essence of those businesses, new names, and kept it mostly focused on just a couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. How about you, Catherine? Have you been to Galveston? Did you already? I know you travel a lot. So have you been to Galveston? Did you already know what you needed to know to make your story work?
Google Earth is my friend, and you're going to laugh at this. I had never been, with the exception of my trip to Alaska last year, I have never been more than 20 miles west of the Mississippi. And people are always shocked at that, but I'm hoping to correct that. But, yeah, Google Earth was my everything. I was flying around that island, street view, and I was lucky in that I basically was focusing on the characters and not the island, so it was relatively easy for me. The only thing I had to do was find out some of the navigational points, because I know that they go out on a sailboat at one point, so I had to figure out where they were sailing.
Okay. Catherine, do you have an excerpt that you would like to share with us?
I wasn't ready.
Okay, that's okay. We can go over to Jamie Lynn. Jamie Lynn, do you have something that you would like to share?
I do, actually. But if it's okay, I'd like to touch a little bit more. I was kind of like...
Sure, absolutely.
This is actually my first paranormal. And I'd never heard of Galveston Island either, so I had to do some research on that. But I actually created a new breed of vampires for this story. And, you know, because we all know what the myth is of, like, Dracula and all that. So I made there's very little similarities to what we usually see in movies and reading other books. So, and the story is basically about Curtis wanting, you know, to be with Julia. Now, he's deeply in love with her, and he didn't realize that she's in love with him, too. But so I'm going to read the teaser now.
Okay.
Excuse me. She hid her face with trembling hands and told him again that he didn't understand what he was asking of her. He stood, walked up to her, and wrapped his arms around her waist. He gently pulled her back against him and kissed her behind her ear. I love you, Julia. I want and need to be with you. What is it that I am asking that is so hard for you? What is your plan for us this weekend? He could feel her breathing in, and he kissed her shoulder. She turned in his arms, and when he looked into her eyes, he saw pure black. There was no more white or pupils to be seen. His heart hammered against his chest, and she parted her lips, showing him her teeth, and she grabbed a hold of him with strength that she had never shown him before. I want to make you mine, she told him.
That sounds really good.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. CJ, I do have a question for you. You have a family that you have to take care of, so how do you balance your writing time with your family time?
I have a really amazing husband who will take off work every once in a while. In fact, he took off a week of work just so that I could go to my mom's and write the third book in the Healer series, and I was able to write about 60,000 words that week. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. And then in the morning, I generally go to the gym, drop my two oldest are in first grade and kindergarten, and then my third is in preschool. So they're in school in the morning, and then I can go with the baby to the gym, and they have a little daycare there. And I'll work out for about 30 minutes. I laugh because the majority of my time that I'm at the gym, I'm riding. I'm not working out. So I work out. I get a sweat in there, you know, and do some crunches. And I'm like, okay, now I got to write. This is why I'm here. Now I'm writing at the gym. And so I get about an hour in just to do a few things. But if I didn't have that gym time and if my husband wasn't so awesome, it wouldn't get done. It just wouldn't.
That's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
Erin? Do you have something that you want to share, an excerpt or something from your book?
I'm looking for it right now.
Okay. We could go over to Jamie Brumfield.
Thank you. I've actually would like to share the prologue to the story so that you get a little
sure.
backstory of Imani and the curse that happened that made her a genie. The clouds rolled across the sky with a furious determination to cloak the world in darkness. Imani watched in horror as her little brother Ferris battled the wicked wind and downpour of rain to get the horses into the stables. The majestic animals were their livelihood. They managed the royal stables, and if anything happened to one of the precious creatures, their family would face a terrible wrath from the prince. It was rumored the prince loved his horses more than his wives, especially Black Knight. Imani wrung her hands and bounced softly from one foot to the other as Ferris ran the last horse of the fine stallion of the amazing pedigree towards the stables. She watched for him. She waited for him at the stable door, ready to close it tight once he was over the threshold. Unfortunately, Black Knight was not in tune with his namesake, and when lightning struck a nearby tree, he reared up, putting Ferris in danger. She sucked in a scared breath. She'd seen fear in the majestic creature's faces before, but this was terror, and Black Knight was not easily tamed. His wild nature was why the prince named him his favorite. "Where are you going, boy?" The man wearing a black mask and dark clothes stepped in front of Ferris, blocking him from the stable entrance. Somehow, the man didn't see her, or maybe he didn't see her as a threat. "I'm trying to lock the horses up. Please, step out of my way," Imani heard her brother say. Her feet moved before her brain knew what was really happening. She rushed to her father's office and picked up the shotgun, checking to make sure it was loaded and the safety was off. She ran back to the entryway of the stables to provide backup for her brother if he needed her. "I'll take Black Knight," the intruder told him. The horse reared up angrily at the storm raging around them. The coldness in the cloaked man's voice ran shivers up Imani's spine. She'd always been good at gauging a person's emotions, but this man sounded void of anything but hatred, cold, bitter hatred. It made her skin crawl. Another crack of lightning snapped a tree branch from the trunk. The horse pulled up and bucked, reacting in fear. His only motivation was to get away. Ferris caught Imani's eyes and puffed his chest, raising his chin defiantly. While he attempted to steady the furious black stallion, he said, "I'm sorry, but it is my duty to protect the horses with my life. If you're willing to pay with your life, then so be it." The masked man swung a dagger at Ferris, and Imani screamed as the knife sunk into her brother's chest. The light that left his eyes as he crumbled to the ground told Imani the robber hit his heart. She didn't think. Her father taught her to fight, taught her to shoot the shotgun in her hand if she ever needed to defend her family. She knew as the scream left her lips that she only had moments before the assailant thrust a dagger in her direction. She felt the kick from the shotgun before she even knew she had pulled the trigger. Black Knight lunged into the air, front hooves landing on the man she shot. The bullet hadn't killed the man. The horse stomping finished. If the bullet hadn't killed the man, the horse stomping finished the job. It was a gruesome sight. Imani dropped the gun and fell to her knees. She just had a hand in taking a man's life. Emotions flooded her eyes. Fear, sadness, remorse, disgust for her act. It didn't matter that she was following through with her duty to protect the horses, that she was entitled to take vengeance on the man who had murdered her brother in cold blood, or that she was worried for her own life. None of that mattered because she committed the most heinous of crimes. She'd taken a life, and there was no coming back from this.
That sounds really good, Jamie.
Thank you.
Hey,
everybody sounds great, though. I'm so excited to read everybody's book in this box set.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to this. Catherine, are you ready yet?
Yeah. I am ready.
All right.
We can format something. Let's see. All right. This is early on in the story where you start to find out what exactly happened between them. Michelle and Craig. Michelle swept the phone app open and tapped in his code. The phone opened. He trusted her. She saw there were a dozen text messages from Kara. "Kara, did you really go to the beach with that witch? You can't ignore me forever. Come on, see, I have a hotel waiting for you. You know, I was thinking, if you don't get along, get divorced. Why make this hard? I had a Tito's and tonic in your honor today. You aren't really at the beach, right? I miss you, see? Why did you transfer? That B&B for you two was a waste of money." It just kept going. Not just the new ones, but ones from weeks and months ago. Nearly 3 months without an answer, and Kara kept sending the messages. When did this crap turn to stalking? While she and Craig might be headed for divorce, this woman was really pushing the boundaries. Nowhere, though, in any of those weeks of texts, was a single response from Craig. The last response from him was just at the time they agreed to quit acting like children and straighten up. His message was simple. "Craig, we're done, Kara. I can't do this anymore. Goodbye." And nothing else. He'd stuck to it. Michelle opened the email and searched Kara's name, Kara's email, Kara's last name, work, address, phone number. Nothing. Not since that day. He'd kept his word. Even today, after they'd agreed it was over. Nothing. Michelle put the phone down and headed for the bedroom. Craig was asleep on the couch in pajama bottoms and nothing else. His short blonde hair was spiky from sleep, and there was a faint scent of alcohol around him. Behind those closed lids, his eyes, great chocolate pools that sparkled when they had first met, darted around in deep sleep. His arm was thrown over his head, and she stared at his chest. When the hell did that man get ripped? Craig's physique was now lickably delicious. He had always been a little scrawny, but she liked his tight, tiny butt. What was laid out in front of her was an Adonis, not the skinny-armed man she remembered. Had it really been that long since she'd paid attention to him? He looked good. She imagined that tight, tiny tush was now toned. Oh, God, alliteration.
Oh, my. I'm going to be hitting this anthology this week. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Of course, it just came out last night, but I'll be hitting that on my Kindle. So thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
CJ, would you like to share something from Double Booked?
Yes. Yes, I would. It's not too long. It's just the
okay, that's
the
fine.
Teaser. Okay. This is just where Annalise and Miguel have gone out to get something to eat. And their discussion has gone a little too serious too quickly for her taste. She's trying to tell him why they can't spend time together, and he's trying to figure out why she won't spend time with him. So how could I be talking about love and relationships with a man I barely knew and on a date that wasn't really a date? I swallowed hard before continuing. I can't do that. I'll never be that woman. I can't shrug away shared moments of affection and intimacy without losing a small piece of myself in the process. You're incredibly easy to like, Miguel, but you'd be even easier to love. The tension building between us seemed to reach a near breaking point as we stayed locked in our supercharged staring match. Are you afraid to fall in love with me, Annalise? I nearly choked at such a direct question. Terrified. His smoky gaze sought to draw me out further with his next question. And you believe after spending a week together you could fall in love with me? I let out a deep breath and faced his question head on. If I did fall in love with you, Miguel Galvez, would you ever let me keep you?
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Erin, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I found something.
Okay, great.
Mind wandering to and fro, Hope knew she had too much to drink and tried to stay focused on keeping one foot in front of the other. Beach can littering the sidewalk and the brick that dug into the bottom of her shoes managed to work in, sliding over the cement. She stumbled backwards and into a pair of waiting strong arms. Firm and comforting, her body hummed from the pleasure and warmth of his strong chest and arms. She didn't want to move or open her eyes, the fear that the spell would be broken and his perfect moment would vanish. Not a word was spoken, and time stood as still as a breath. Slowly his arms slid across her body, tightening his hold, pulling her closer to him until she felt her soft breath crushing against his wall of metal. Hope felt safe in his embrace, and despite the anxiety tugging in her head, her heart hammered in his chest. There was nowhere on earth she would rather be at this moment, but it had been so long since the man who held her, and she feared she might crumble in his arms.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yes, that sounded great. This windswept keeps sounding better and better with every excerpt. Isabel, we're ready for you if you're ready.
Okay. This is when Matt finds out that Serenity had a procedure done to herself. It was her way of trying to get away from her past. But you know, if you read the story, you'll understand why she had to have that procedure. Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
Why didn't you tell me? When she didn't reply, Matt rolled back on top of her, making her gasp. But he held himself on his arms. Why didn't you tell me, Serenity? His eyes were troubled. That must hurt like a... It isn't that bad, she winced. Honest. Oh, shit, baby, I'm sorry. The tenderness in his voice made her eyes smart again. Can I? Can you what? I want to see you, Serenity, all of you. Serenity laughed in disbelief. You're joking, right? His green eyes darkened. No, I'm not. It's ugly. Woman, I've seen ugly and live wrapped very well in what everyone thinks is beauty. Matt's voice rumbled in his chest. He caressed her hip, moving his hand over her flat stomach to her ribcage, making her breath hitch when he cupped the underside of her breast. Do I have to seduce you to see the beauty inside you? She searched his face, looking for any sign of mockery, but there was only earnestness in those olive green eyes she could drown in. The tenderness in them made her want to stay with him forever, let it seep into her veins, for her body to remember so that her heart didn't forget. But Serenity learned that forever was a myth, foisted by empty hopes and dreams. She sighed when Matt placed his mouth on hers, teasing the seam with his tongue, asking to be let in. Matt raised his head and smiled at cocky grin that was doing all sorts of delicious things to her. All right, she breathed. But if you find it ugly, just be gentle and lie to me. That's it.
Thank you. Waiting for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you all for sharing. I know that can be nerve-wracking to read on the air, so I do really appreciate you all doing that. Jamie, can you tell us what you have coming up with Buku next? Do we still have Jamie?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I actually have book three in the Winter Saga that I'm working on currently right now. It's Hunter's story, so if you've read the Winter Saga, Hunter is definitely showcased in this book. And there's a little bit more about traveling to the alternate dimension and a lot more witchcraft as far as fire magic. And a new character has also stolen part of the show on this one too. So, and her name is Freya. She's a little dragon shifter that comes from the other dimension. She's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I also have book two of the Shifter's Love Tales that I'm working on. And the first book, there's a lot of fertility. There's a fertility curse that goes on to the shifters and their mates because of from the ancient gods, from the Greek gods. In fact, it was Artemis who cursed them because they were fighting amongst themselves. So that one is actually coming soon too, and it's going to be focused on the Lion King and his fertility doctor mate. So there's definitely going to be that one within the next couple of months, and I hope to have a second to the Genie's Treasure for this one as well. I hope to have the Joshua, Josie, and Imani go on more treasure hunts and antique hunting. So definitely look for that coming in the future as well.
Wow, that sounds amazing. You got a lot going on. Jamie Lynn, how about you? What's next for you with Boo Koo?
Well, I'm currently working on the third book of my Nightmares and Dreams trilogy. A couple weeks ago, Dark Moments and Silver Linings was released. So now I'm writing, Walking in the Clouds, which will be the third one, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm also wanting to write a full-length novel following Make Me Yours. So that's a new one for me on writing a paranormal novel. So I'm excited about that as well.
That's great. Well, you're in a good place to start with your first paranormal. I mean, you're in an anthology with Jamie Brumfield, Isabel Kate, and CJ. That's really great. That's a good place to be to start out with your paranormal. You'll get a lot of eyes on there.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Catherine, what's next for you with Boo Koo? I know the list is very long.
I'm so excited. It actually happened by accident this week, but it looks like I'm going to have my first full-length paranormal out. Probably next month. It's called Half Soul, and it's called it's part of a series called The Realm, and it's actually all angels and demons. And I based it on Jewish demonology, so I had to do a lot of research, but it's actually going to be one of my shortest novels at about 70,000 words. I also have coming out under J. Rose. I'm going to have two more coming out. One is called Penumbra, and it's witches, werewolves, vampires, all kinds of stuff coming out. That's the beginning of a huge series. And then, very excited, with Aurora Zani, we are putting out our Apathetic Avengers, which is a teenage superhero group. And it's one of the most fun stories I've ever written, and I'm just very excited about it. And then I'm going to start working on the fourth book in Club Imperial called Knots, which I hope I'll be able to get done by June, maybe. I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
And then I have...
I said fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And then I have Silver Soul coming up soon. So hopefully we'll see what happens.
That's a lot
of
projects.
I have Soul coming out soon. So
that'll be great. CJ, what's next for you with Boo Koo?
Well, I like I mentioned before, I'm working on the third book in the Healer series. I've got to stop reading so much. I went and downloaded Windswept last night, and I started reading through everybody's novellas. And the more I read, I was like, I can't put this down. And it's like 3 in the morning, and I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep. But I can't put this down. And I was just sitting thinking to myself, my novella is in this with them. All this goodness, and mine is in there with them. I was so honored, and I know how good everyone is because I've read everybody's stuff before. I go in and sample stuff. I should go and review it on Goodreads. I haven't done it on Amazon because
I know Sable said that Amazon frowned upon authors doing that, but I was just sitting there going, oh, they're so good. I can't believe my novella is in here with them. And so I got, no writing has been done for probably a week because I've been so excited about this. But eventually, when I put the Kindle down and I finish the anthology, finish reading it, then I will probably write that. I should probably finish that. Yeah.
Sounds great. Get that Sounds in. Great.
Yeah.
And Erin, what's next for you?
Well, I'm working on my follow-up to my recent spoken book, Made for a Submission, which is The Master Submit. And then I've taken my vampire novella that was in our October Halloween anthology, and it's going to be the start of my new paranormal series. A title yet to be... yet to be announced. And then I have a couple historical erotica I'm working on right now that are both based in Victorian England.
Sounds great. Gracie, I want to talk to you a little bit. Two questions for you, Gracie. One, what kind of research went into you being a part of this anthology with the location, your story and everything? And what's next for you with Buku?
Okay, so when Sable came to me with this novella idea, I had no idea that this was an island. I was like, oh, yeah, I can make it work with, like, some of my new adult stuff. I'll have, like, them get stuck there on a road trip home from university or something. And then I found out it was on an island. So I had to change my story. So what I did was I went on and I, Google is obviously our friend now. It helps us very much in the writing world. And I found out that cruise ships go out from this area. So I made it that they were going to meet family to go on a cruise, and the family couldn't get out of Michigan because of snow, which is kind of funny because that's kind of how the week's been going down here. It's been horrible with the snow, so it's kind of funny that, this is taking place now, and it's actually, there's been flights canceled and stuff. So I went and I looked up all the, some of the location, and I looked up, the surrounding areas and, like the beaches and stuff, because there's a big part in my book that takes place on by the water, and I tried to leave things as vague as possible so that anybody from that area would not be able to pick it apart, but
right.
I wanted to make sure that people could imagine it like I was imagining it. So, I just kind of went on there and researched, looked at pictures, wrote what I felt, but I tried to focus mostly on the relationship between the characters. So, and my characters are actually only there for, 36 hours.
Oh, okay. And what's next for you with Buku?
Okay, so I have a book that's in the process of being edited right now called The Beautifully Destroyed. And it's not like any of my other books because, I'm pretty known for my cliffhangers. And it even took, Sable reminding me that I couldn't leave this novella off on a cliffhanger. I had to give him a happy ending. This book is the first book in a new series that is going to be, standalone. So, each book is about different people. So there's always, an ending, and it's not, all this up in the air. So that was really a new experience for me. And as I said, it's in edits right now. And I've already started on book two in that series, which is going to be the Beautifully Forgotten. So, and the first one, The Beautifully Destroyed, is about, a rock star who goes to college, and he meets a girl who's got, a really bad past, and, she's just not willing to open up to anybody, so it's trying to navigate through, his celebrity issues and, her pain and tragedy from her past and how that kind of can work for them. So I'm pretty excited about that book coming out, not as excited as I was about this novella coming out because, there's so many of us in it. It brings a whole new meaning to book release, but I am excited for this next book.
We're excited for it, too. Isabel, what's coming up next for you?
At the moment, I'm writing the fifth book of the Sinclair's Bloodline series, and it's going to move away from Manchester. It's going to Leeds, and it's the story of Colin Butler. He's one of the reconnaissance specialists of the Sincroers who was with them in Honduras, because the previous book, Midnight's Fate, which was Zach's story, was was set in the Honduras. And then apart from that, I'm going to be doing the third book for the Second Chances series. You know, it's tentatively titled Second Chances series, and it started with Be Mine, and then we have You and I in the anthology. And then the third one is going to be Whatever It Takes, and it's going to be Oliver's story and Felicity. So that's what I have at the moment. And that's it, really. I'm concentrating on both of those books. Oh, and also my historical novel, Amihan, which I really have to get back because I've you know, it's been set aside for like about 18 months already. So I think, you know, I think she deserves her story to come out now. So, yeah, I'll be working on three books now.
You'll be busy. I have a question for Jamie and Catherine and Gracie. The popularity, are you seeing more cliffhangers today, I think, than we've ever had. What do you think that's from, Catherine?
Well, me personally, it's that I write too long, and I always like to torture people a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, that whole state of masochism thing. I don't know why cliffhangers, most people don't even realize that on TV, if you watch, most things are cliffhangers in some form or another.
Yeah.
There's something that needs to happen the next week. And when you're writing a series, I think that it's just natural to leave some questions open to entice people to want to know more. You know, keep reading. What's going to happen next? You know, we always want to know. We're gossipy humans, you know. We want to know what's going to happen now. So, you know, so I think that's where it comes from. I think that we're writing the way we're watching TV a lot of times, too. It's just part of it. I mean, I know there are people who absolutely loathe cliffhangers, but I'm like,
yeah.
But you all sat there and watched the end of Sopranos, and then you want to talk about a cliffhanger. You don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
You don't even get a conclusion. I just think that it comes from the way we watch TV a lot now.
Yeah. Jamie, do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I also think hearing from fans and readers that they talk about how they get into a book and they love the story, they love the characters, and then all of a sudden it's over. And a lot of readers really like to see that continuation of their story in other books. So the cliffhangers really help us to continue to create series so the story can continue on for the readers. And they definitely, there are some people who don't like cliffhangers, but there are a lot of people who really just like continuing that story. And I think that also TV and media has a lot to do with that, too. I totally agree with you. It, every TV show we watch has a cliffhanger for next week. So both components, I think, are very important.
Yeah, very true. Very true. CJ, do you can you share your media links and tell the listeners how they can keep in touch with you?
Sure. My website is pretty easy to find, authorcjanaya.com. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is cjanaya21. And just find CJ and I on Facebook. I guess just type in CJ and I. Google it. It should pop up on Goodreads and all that good stuff. Not too complicated there.
Sounds good.
Erin,
how about you?
I'm over at, obviously, on Facebook. but I also have my website, which is erinblack.com. And I keep everything up to date of any new releases or also any local entertainment. I try to, you know, promote all the artists in Southern California that I have. So it's always a fun way to pop on over there.
That's great. Jamie Lynn?
Yeah.
Can you share your links?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little out of it. Twitter is Boop67. I'm a big Betty Boop fan. Let me think. Of course, I got Jamie Lynn Booth, author, on Facebook. have Google Plus. I think that's also, I think that's Boopsy 1967. I'm on Pinterest and linked also, but I can't think of it right offhand.
Okay.
I wasn't ready for that.
We can Google you.
All right, thank you.
Isabel?
Yeah, everybody can contact me on isabel8@gmail.com. And then for social links, I have my Facebook, author Isabel Kate. My Twitter handle is isabel_Kate. And then I also have my Amazon page, which is isabel-kate. And I also have a Goodreads page. I can't tell you my website yet because I'm still fixing it again. So they can always, follow me on either Twitter or Facebook. And also, Sue, at tsu.co, I'm on also there.
Okay, sounds good. Jamie Brumfield?
Yes, well, you can find me on Facebook at J-A-M-I, Brumfield, B-R-U-M-F-I-E-L-D. On the top of my author page at Jamie Brumfield, author Jamie Brumfield, I also have a newsletter pinned post. I like to give away monthly subscriber giveaways, so definitely click on that and join me on my newsletter mailing list, because I like to keep everybody up to date there, as well as Amazon.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at Jamie, J-A-M-I-M, as Mary, Brumfield, B-R-U-M-F-I-E-L-D as well. Those are the main ones that I use to play with.
Sounds great. Gracie?
So you guys can find me on Facebook.com/GracieWilsonAuthor. I also am on Twitter at Gracie_Wilson. I'm on Instagram as well, Gracie Wilson Author. Pretty much anything. I'm on everything. You just have to look up Gracie Wilson Author, and I kind of just pop up there.
Great. Sounds good. Catherine?
Well, it's kind of like Gracie. If you type in Catherine Rhodes Author, I pop up just about everywhere. I'm on Facebook and Google Plus and Sue and under... on Twitter, you're going to find me under Mistress_KR. And on Instagram, I'm actually at TheKittyLover42. It's an older login. And and you can always find me on my website at KatherineRhodes.com.
Okay. And, of course, Windswept, Stories of Enduring Love, can be found at Amazon.com. Gumbo Yaya can be found on Facebook.com/GumboYayaRadio. Buku can be found on Facebook.com/BukuLLC. Also, BukuLLCPublishing.com is our website. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming in and hanging out with me for an hour today. I have really enjoyed it. I hope you have,
thank
too.
You for
I wish
us.
You all much success mm-hmm. with your Windswept release. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.